Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't stir that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Welcome to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Master Marcus. Great to have you with us here on the beautiful but increasingly colder campus at LCMSU. Are you done with finals? Sorry if you aren't. We're going to talk about something really important today. You know us here in the Student Union, substance, all the time. We're going to talk a little bit about social media. And let's head down south today. Pastor Patrick Fertitta, all the way from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where he serves students at the University of Alabama. Good to have you with us today, Patrick.
Good to be here.
Now, you are the campus pastor at University Lutheran Church, is that correct?
Yes, University Lutheran Church.
And how long have you been there?
I have been here since February of last year, so almost a year now.
Now, you have an interesting distinction in the fact that you're the campus pastor for Bama students, but your heart kind of lies where?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Louisiana, so I'm an LSU fan in exile.
Wow.
In Alabama. Yeah, it's like,
trying to
like Israel and Babylon. Yeah, yeah.
And how do you navigate that? I know when I called you up, I had to listen to the LSU fight song for a while.
The way I look at it now is that I can't lose. When Alabama wins against LSU, I'm happy because my church is happy. If LSU wins, I'm happy because my family back home is happy. So
either way, somebody's giving somebody grief, though, right?
Yeah, I still ended up having to eat quite a bit of crow the next morning after the LSU game this year. Was forced to give a couple of good roll tides after service.
And then, you know what? That's the way it should be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your parish, your attempts to reach out to the college students at the University of Alabama.
Sure. The campus setting, I mean, we're right on campus. In fact, there are three other churches right around us as well. So the section of campus we're on is often referred to as the God Quad. In fact, next door to us is St. Francis Catholic Church, where Coach Saban actually attends. So it's a neat dynamic down here too, though, because being in the South, this is a very Baptist area, and there's not a lot of Lutherans in Alabama, but that's sort of changing in some ways, as Alabama has really taken a focus toward attracting students from out of state. So we're seeing a lot of students coming from the Midwest and other areas where Lutheranism is more pronounced. And so we're starting to see some growth in that area as well. So it's an interesting community, still not like St. Louis or someplace in Indiana or such, but Lutheranism is definitely on the grow down here in a great way.
As I always tell people, you take what you have and you work with it, and nobody should expect a campus ministry to be as big in Tuscaloosa as it is in, City or Bloomington, Indiana, but you've haven't had a little bit of growth there, but tell
me,
what's a kind of a typical week for your college students? What kind of things do you have going on?
Well, we've got several things. Of course, we've got the typical fellowship opportunities and all. We've got a Bible study that we do on Thursday nights. Students will meet. We'll have a little meal and then have a Bible study and discuss things. We've got other opportunities as well. Got a another little fellowship opportunity that we call Stogies and Scripture, where we get together and we'll have a cigar and sit around and just chat and talk about theology, but we'll also talk about how the tide played against Auburn, you know.
Sure. You know, and what's interesting about, you know, when I was a campus pastor, we did a theology on tap kind of a thing. Didn't encourage under-drinking or anything, but it was kind of a similar idea. But you actually have quite a background in terms of cigars. Tell us a little bit about your family background in that regard. And this is kind of a business on the side for you, huh?
Yeah, well, my uncle and I are big cigar fans, and we decided actually last year that it would be neat to start a local cigar brand for the city of Shreveport, which is where I'm originally from. And so he and I got to work on finding some producers and everything. And so, yeah, we have our own cigar brand that we run. It's called Fertitas Cristo Cigars. And there's a bit of an homage back to my faith in Christ in the name of the cigar brand being Cristo.
And that's kind of the Louisiana.
Yeah, it's spelled with the E-A-U-X ending. So it's definitely geared toward the Louisiana crowd back home. In fact, we've got a little anthropomorphic alligator who's on our cigar ring. In fact, and his name is Cristo. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And he's got he's wearing like a crucifix, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's actually, if you look real close on the cigar ring, he's got a little crucifix around his neck. So, yeah, I guess he's a believer. I'm you know.
No, it's no, and it's great, and you know, I've actually ordered some of these before, and yeah. They're fantastic. And so, we're real quick, yeah. I don't usually give plugs, and somebody will probably. What's the website where they can go and check it out?
Sure, it's FertitaCigars.com, and you can give that a look. But it's interesting how the cigars have actually opened doors for outreach. Though I remember one evening I was sitting down outside my apartment having a cigar, and some students smelled it and they said, "That smells really good." And I said, "Well, if you hang on a second, I'll run and get you one if you'd like." And gave them a sample, and then told them I'm the pastor over at University Lutheran. They said, "Wait a minute,
really?
This doesn't fit."
It's
and
in
it depth, turned into
kind of the
exactly, and it turned into an opportunity to minister. So it was great, you know.
That's fantastic cigar evangelism, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of the things that we have seen recently in the last the last month or so, in the wake of all the craziness on campus at Mizzou, the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, student protests, is the powerful impact of social media. And in some places for the good, you know, the social media can be used for the good, and unfortunately, sometimes it's for the bad, and kind of brings out all sorts of things out of us. And one of the new, and I have to tell everybody up front, I'm still getting familiar with Yik Yak. You can put me onto this, but it's been playing a big role and been in the news lately. Tell us about this. What is this Yik Yak thing, and how does it work? What's the design here?
So Yik Yak is like a anonymous public chat room. It's an app that's on Android and the iPhone, and it's a place where it's pegged to your location geographically, and it gives a campus feed. But it's more like a anonymous public chat room, so to speak. People can post, they can post whatever they really want within certain parameters. But unfortunately, what happens when you divorce a person's identity from what they say is you begin to see that basest side of humanity coming out. And so it is a pretty dark place as well. There's a lot of rampant racism. There's a lot of rampant sexuality, hookup culture. All of this is present on Yik Yak.
And I know on the Yik Yak, the kind of slogan is get a live feed of what everyone's saying around you. How far does this reach? I mean, does it go 2 miles, 3 miles, 10 miles?
I'm not exactly sure of how far the reach is, but I do know that it's typically pegged to the community you're in. So, for instance, if I were in Baton Rouge, the feed that I would get would be the LSU feed. If I am in Tuscaloosa, I get the Alabama feed. Now you can peek into other campuses, but you can't say anything on their feeds.
So you have to be able to have locations.
You have to be in that location. Right. Yes, you have to be in that location to be able to post.
Now, how can this? What's interesting about this is that it's almost. Social media, it's one thing when social media is, I'm tweeting or posting on Facebook and you know who I am. How does the anonymity really change things?
When you begin to divorce a person's identity from their words, people begin to take that sense of freedom and become, in a very real sense, sometimes it's a very true picture of themselves. And you see that base side of humanity coming out. As Luther taught us that we're all evil at the very core of who we are. And if we're left to sin, then the only thing we're going to want to do is sin more and more and more. And once you pull a person's identity away from their words, oh, wow, the things that will come out of people, it's frightening, really.
No, it's interesting because the last couple of weeks there have been, a lot of people have accused Yik Yak as being a great place for fostering and kind of fomenting. Mm-hmm. You mentioned racism, sexual identity mm-hmm. issues.
Yeah.
There's a new place where you can anonymously post photos. It's called Yeti.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. But what I've noticed, if anybody's been paying attention in the news on campus, there have been 10, 12, 15 places where there have been arrests of people.
Yes.
For instance, what's interesting is just in the last 2 weeks, there have been two arrests. I'm going to say this lightly. Because it's just an example of how this can be used badly, where some African-American students had been accused of posting racial threats on campus anonymously, and they kind of use it to stoke the flame. So it's like, hey, this one gal with a protest left the protest where she's protesting and being mistreated as an African-American. Apparently went to the library, created an anonymous Yik Yak account, and then posted something about how, something's going to happen on campus or such, and then it fed the protests. So this can be used.
Yes. It can be used, absolutely. In fact, there was an incident here about a year ago where it resulted in the arrest of a student for making a bit of a bomb threat. Turned out, thankfully, there was no substance to the threat that was made. But that's something, again, too, that I don't think students are truly aware of, and that is that regardless of where you are on the Internet and how anonymous you think you are on the Internet, You really aren't.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, in
a way, if you're going to post anything, if you do anything online, you had better know that someone will see this and know that you posted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to be very, very careful with what we say and what we do online and in forums, regardless of how anonymous you may think these forums are. And especially as Christians, because anonymity does not exist with God.
Absolutely.
And that's something that especially Christian students who might utilize YKCAC or something need to continue to bear in mind, and that is that God still sees all.
One way to keep from getting into trouble is to, you know, as God says, to let our yes be yes, and no be no, and say,
don't say anything
that you don't mean, and don't say any, but what's interesting to me is that in this kind of microaggression, trigger-happy PC culture that we seem to be in, where everybody's offended and hurt by anything, this seems like an opportunity. I can see a lot of students. I'm 49 and stupid. I used to be 20 and stupid. People doing stuff. It's like, what bunch of fools? I could see a bunch of students saying, I got to tweak these people for their idiocy. We need to just, in fact, it's interesting that there was just a recent Huffington Post article that 3/4 of college deans that they are actually monitoring YKCAC. I mean, you can't know who's doing what, at least up immediately, but why would they do this? What does it help?
Well, I think that it kind of gives them a little bit of a sense of what the current environment is like on campus. Of course, I'm pretty sure that they weigh the fact that whatever they see on the attack is probably also exacerbated from what the current climate really is. But
there's an element of truth in everything that's
possible. Exactly. So seeing and monitoring something like this is a way that they can have their finger on the pulse of what's going on. And what the discussion is on campus.
That's a reminder to students that, hey, if you're going to get involved in this, be extra careful. Big brother's watching.
Absolutely.
Do you see positives to using YKCAC for our students? I mean, would you advise?
Yeah, well, 10 1/2 dozen the other. I mean, it's one of those situations where, I could see life without it being just fine, but for most college students, it's part of the end thing, and so I can see that they're going to be on there. And I think that it's one of those things that I personally don't see a huge benefit outside of how I would use it. And do use it as a pastor.
Tell our listeners about that. How do you see a pastor or other campus ministry worker taking advantage or utilizing this?
Absolutely. What I've done, in some sense, just like the college deans there, I will go on there on occasion and just look at the post, get a feel for what the current environment is like on campus. What are the discussions that are taking place? Like a doctor examining a patient, they don't know how to treat the disease until they see the symptoms manifesting. And YKCAC is a place where symptoms come to light. It's like an X-ray or an MRI or something that, can help a pastor especially hone his sermons, hone his Bible studies, and his discussion and interactions with his students.
So it's a help thing, I imagine. That would be illustrative for your preaching, that if you as a pastor know, hey, this is what, even though there's half of it's probably bunk.
Sure.
The bunk is being talked about. And so
exactly.
You can address it in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
Of course,
exactly.
You want to spend hours a week,
No, because it can be just like Facebook. It can be one of those places where it's like a black hole for your time. You know, it'll suck it up. So
we have just about 2 minutes left here. I just wanted to address this idea. You know, one of the concerns just with, you know, with social media in general, and specifically with stuff that's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have two teenage sons, an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old, and, you know, getting their, if they're listening, love you guys, but getting their earbuds out of their ears, getting them off their phone at the dinner table. We already live in a society where we're plugged in everywhere. Now we're plugged in anonymously. And, you know, what does this say about, I mean, how can the church, you know, drawing college, you know, to, I've noticed that college students, you know, when you sat down for stogies and scripture and actually, you know, had something that, you know, sit here and just visit with people.
Sure.
Doesn't this almost make the church a countercultural place in terms of, wow, this is like cutting edge old school to be able to actually just talk to someone? Why is that so important in this yik-yak kind of age?
Well, I think it's important for the church to remember that they are to be a light in the darkness. And, you know, whether it's in person or whether it's on Yik Yak, and I've had experiences on Yik Yak too, very recently, that have led to further discussion about Jesus Christ and about the salvation he gives to us. And so we have to bear in mind that as the church, we are a light in this dark world, and even a light in the hidden anonymous worlds as well. And so, you know, whether it's on Yik Yak or in person, we need to continually keep the gospel in front of us. And that is the motivating factor for how we engage the world is putting the gospel out there in a hurt and dying world, because the gospel in Jesus Christ is the only thing that can give life and light to that dark world.
No, absolutely. And, you know, social media, it's interesting that social media is, you know, a lot of college students are like, oh, Facebook, yeah, that's for old people now. You know, we're always changing.
Yeah.
We're never, you know, there's always the next new thing. And so
we never satisfied kind of thing. Yeah.
On campus ministry, especially and on campus, tend to be confronted with this earlier than most. I'm sure grandma should.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But,
no. And it's important for us to stay on top of it.
And so, Pastor Fertitta, thank you for being with us. Thank you for daring to
reach
out into some of these areas and to fill us in a little bit. And I do look forward to, folks, students at Alabama, I am not just going to miss you. I will visit you, too, hopefully sometime this spring, maybe. So
good. We look forward to it.
Anyways, take care.
Don't go back.
Still studying, hang in there. The break is coming up soon, and if you're hanging out on social media, be careful. Okay, a student, especially careful on Yik Yak. While you're on break, I have a great idea for you. Go back and listen to all the old archives of the Student Union at KFUO.org. And if you remember, wherever you are, you're always welcome here. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.